But then we also get the work of the Lord Jesus. Sin had come in. Sin had marred the creation, marred what God had made. And so now there is the necessity of the blood of Christ. And so you have the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, all very much engaged in order to accomplish this matter of bringing you and I into favor. And if there's anything that should lead us into greater worship and devotion, is the understanding of this very powerful truth that divine persons were involved in making grace and mercy reach to you and I. Now, just one other reminder in terms of the format. I might say a couple things, but the floor is open for any brother to jump in, ask a question, participate. For our sisters, only because we want to keep everyone's conscience clear, is that if you have a question, just ask me, write it on a paper, slip it to someone so that they can read it for you, just so that we don't offend anyone in terms of sisters' participation. But we want you to be engaged. We want you to be thinking about the things that we speak about. And so if there is a question, write it down and get a brother to vocalize it for you. So Peter starts out after he takes this thought of the divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit being so engaged. What is his response in verse 3? His response in verse 3 is praise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. Mercy is the act of God that shows his kindness to us and restricts or restrains from him giving to us what we rightly deserve. And so his abundant mercy, and then it says he's begotten us. We're going to talk a little bit about this matter of being begotten, being born again. Everyone knows the story in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, Jesus encounters Nicodemus, and he says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, thinking in the natural, says, how can a man who is old enter into his mother's womb and be born again? And the right translation or the right understanding of it is born from above. And the Lord says, and perhaps we should turn to it in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered Nicodemus and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God is the operative member of the Godhead who is effecting the work of being born again. And so we are begotten by the work of the Spirit of God. And it's by God's mercy. Later on in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, we get another phrase that is key to this matter of being born again. It says in verse 23, mm-hmm. being born again, not of corruptible seed, mm-hmm. but of incorruptible by the word of God. So we have the work of the Spirit of God. We have the effect of the word of God that produces a transformation and a change in the life of a believer where now he is seen as born again. So the question obviously comes up, maybe not so obviously, what does this address? What does this really address as to what is your need and my need that this was necessary? Why is it necessary? Why did Jesus say to Nicodemus, ye must be born again, born anew, born from above? And then Peter says, you have been born again by, begotten again, begotten by the abundant mercy of God and by the word of God. Why is that so necessary and so important? What does that address as to the need in our existence?
We're dead in sin, so our...
Speak into the mic, because the sessions are being recorded, so anyone participates, please speak to a mic.
So we're dead in sin, so everything, we're born... We can die, our bodies are not not forever. So we need to, God's giving us a way to live through Him.
Yeah. I think the key, if you look at the verse again, there's a key right in the verse. It says, begotten again. By His abundant mercy, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope. And that's the key, and that picks up on what you just were mentioning, that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Everything connected to the first man is dead. But now we've been born again to a living hope. Everything connected to the new man is alive. He's a living hope, a living faith, living God. We're connected to a living God. So now life is to be demonstrated in and through us. We're born from above. That's where the power comes. Now, to live it out, and I just, you're too close. I shouldn't do this. But I want to back up just for one second, because I think there's an important thing that we kind of skipped over, and that's the sprinkling. It says, by the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. What's the difference between the shedding of His blood and the sprinkling of His blood? And there is a difference. Because, and this goes to the entire book of 1 Peter, the sprinkling in the Old Testament was to empower for service. And so now we're talking about empowering to live a holy life, to live to the identity that we've been brought to, that we've been called to. How are we going to do that? We think of the shedding of the blood, it's always connection to provision, but we think about the sprinkling of the blood, it's connected to not so much provision, but power. And so when we think about this, the power to live the life that we've been given is not in ourselves, and it's not for ourselves. We're living to a living hope, by a living faith, to a living God who gives us the power. And so just to make that connection, I think it's really important for us.
Okay.